Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. I'm Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And we've been raising our kids out here for some 23 years, pastoring the church for 17. Steve Vaughn, father of six. I've been homeschooling for about as long as I have.
Yeah, over 20 years.
Over 20 years. Plus, you are an elder in your church out in the Parker area. And so today we're going to talk about Sunday schools. But first, China. This story comes from China Aid. And these Chinese provinces are seeking to eradicate Sunday schools and summer camps for the youth. It's interesting that they're going after the youth. And the state-run churches have already canceled the youth camps for this summer.
Wow.
They said it's just too hot and kids overheat. You know, whatever. and the Three Self Church is most certainly controlled by the government.
Oh, yeah.
And the house church movement, generally speaking, is healthier because what the government funds, the government controls, and what the government controls, the government destroys. Because the government has the mud touch, not the Midas touch. What the government touches turns into mud, and as long as government controls churches, it's always been bad news. And so we don't submit to the dragon in this area. We don't submit to the beast in this area. We simply ignore the beast and we go ahead and do what God calls us to do. We ought to obey God rather than men when it comes to the issue of church. And the Three Self Church is capitulating. No surprise.
Yeah, no surprise at all, because they want to make sure that they can continue and have their funding and all of that.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so, but it's interesting that the communists almost inevitably go after the kids. They always go after the kids. They always understand, the seculars have understood this for a long time, that if you can get all of the kids in the secular schools, if you can give them the secular worldview, if the socialist governments can control the state and bring their doctrine of atheism, their materialistic worldviews into science class, then you can be sure there will not be one single kid following Jesus by the year 2030. And we've seen this happening in the communist bloc nations. We saw this happening in Sweden and Germany, where I think there are six families left who believe in Jesus. There may be more than that, but we ask anybody in Sweden or Germany who still loves the Lord, who hears this radio broadcast, to write into our radio program, host@kevinswanson.com, and just tell us that you exist. But we believe there are six or seven families left in Germany or Sweden who will not bow a knee to Baal, and they will not send their kids off to be indoctrinated by the pagan schools and the pagan government. So there's still a couple left, but there's not many. And that's because the governments in Germany and Sweden are dead to rights, concerned to completely indoctrinate the next generation into a distinctively materialistic, humanistic, atheistic form of education, and that they will not be attending those dead white churches in Germany or Sweden by the year 2030. So, you know, we see this happening in the Western world. We saw it happen in the Eastern world. And now, of course, the communist governments are going after any remnants of a Christian education for the children. And we saw that in the Eastern Bloc nations, too. I just finished reading Brother Andrew's God Smuggler to our kids. Remember?
Yeah,
Brother Andrew?
I read that quite a few years ago.
Yeah. And so, you know, as I read these books of the way it used to be in the Eastern Bloc communist nations, and as I read the stories about what's going on in China, again and again, I ask myself, What is it that the communist governments don't want these churches doing? A lot of times they let them sort of exist for a while, but there are certain things they absolutely repudiate and will not allow these churches to do. And that is, of course, they do not want the kids to reach the young people. They do not want Sunday schools. They don't want youth groups. They don't want any discipleship of the young people. That's absolutely against the law. And guys were put in prison in the Eastern Bloc nations for youth evangelism and youth baptisms. And Brother Andrew tells us these stories. This is where the rub exists between the communists and the Christians. This is the battle. The battle is over the hearts of our children. The public schools in Romania, the public schools in China, the communist schools, the atheist schools, the statist atheist system absolutely, positively wants the hearts, the souls, and the minds of your kids. There is a battle going on, and this is the rub. This is the rub between the Christians who stand against the beast and the beast itself with its desire to indoctrinate the next generation. This is the rub in the 20th and 21st centuries. This is the point at which Christians cannot bow to Baal. Christians must stand against the tyranny of the state and say, we will obey God rather than men, whether it be those who live in the Western world or those who live in the Eastern world. It doesn't matter. It seems to me the same issue exists, Steve. Either we will stand strong for Christ, and we will follow through on Deuteronomy 6:7, Ephesians 6:4, or we will capitulate to the state and turn our kids over to the evil doctrine indoctrination of the communist state. The Communist Manifesto was strong on this. The Communist Manifesto said we've got to replace home education with social. Those words are found right in the heart of the Communist Manifesto, and that's why communists are so dead to rights committed to communist schools, socialist schools, incorporating the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, and that is public education for all. So the communists, the socialists among Christians, non-Christians, are very supportive of the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. They absolutely want to see the communist schools dominating the education of the kids. This has been the commitment since Karl Marx wrote those memorable words, replace home education with social. The greatest opponent to communism, of course, is homeschooling. And Karl Marx understood that. I just wish more people understood that.
Yeah. I mean, communism and statism has a multi-generational plan. Would that Christians have the same plan to teach
that
their children? You know, what is it? Psalm 78, teach their children so they'll teach their children that their children might know the Lord.
Yeah.
And so four or five generations mentioned.
That's a Christian view of things. And of course, Christians are turning them over to the state, that the state would take on this multi-generational vision and be sure that 99.8% of the populace is atheistic, communistic, socialistic, and anti-God by the year 2040. Adolf Hitler also said something similar on November 6th, 1933. This is Adolf Hitler, you know, the Third Reich guy. Okay. He said, when an opponent declares, I will not come over to your side, I calmly say, your child belongs to us already. What are you? You will pass on. Your descendants, however, now stand in a new camp. In a short time, they will know nothing else but this new community. Now, that's the socialism of communism. That's the socialism of the communist schools. That's the socialism of the Nazi schools. That's the socialism of the Western socialist schools. That's their worldview. That's what Adolf Hitler said in 1933. Karl Marx said in the 1840s, replace home education with social. And of course, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the father of it all, said, a father owes men to humanity, citizens to the state. Education is of greater importance to the state than to the fathers. And those memorable words, of course, were eventually incorporated by Karl Marx, Adolf Hitler, and almost the entire Western world. Jean-Jacques Rousseau's words brought to bear in the Western world. And of course, I'll end on this one for this segment of the program. We, you, me, sitting in the House Education Committee of the Colorado State Legislature some 7 years ago. And you remember what the judge said we were talking about the compulsory attendance law.
From Pueblo. He was a judge from Pueblo.
That's right.
We consider all children of Colorado to belong to the state.
That's right. All of Colorado's children belong to us. The words said by a judge of the state of Colorado at the state committee hearing on education, the compulsory attendance laws, some 7 years ago. And that's the worldview of the left. Sadly, it's the worldview of many professing Christians, but I'm encouraging Christians to stand against the beast, stand against the state. Say to yourself, put it on the fridge. Remember, you've got to do this on a daily basis. We ought to obey God rather than the state. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost?
Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we're back on the Generations broadcast. As the Chinese Communist government, the Marxists, and others say the state has got to control the education of our children. But what we find in Deuteronomy 6-7 is something completely different. It's not what Jean-Jacques Rousseau presented. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the father of the modern state. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the father of the modern humanist democracy. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the father of modern education. What did Jean-Jacques Rousseau say but that the education of our children belongs more to the state? And that's a contrast. Jean-Jacques Rousseau being the man who abandoned five of his own children on the steps of an orphanage on the day they were born. That's right. He was the madman. His live-in girlfriend called him an interesting madman at the end of his life. An interesting madman. An insane man who became the father of the modern socialist state. Of course, we follow the madmen. That's what the modern world has done. You wonder why the modern world is so insane. It's because we follow the madmen. Why would you take up the ideas of the compulsory attendance law that is promoted by men like Jean-Jacques Rousseau and Karl Marx? Why would you follow them rather than God, who doesn't abandon his own children on the steps of an orphanage and then go and explain how to do education to the entire modern world? Well, we don't follow Jean-Jacques Rousseau. We follow what the Word of God says. And so here's a huge contrast between Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Plato, Marx, Adolf Hitler. Huge, huge contrast between those guys and what the Word of God says in Deuteronomy 6-7. It says, you shall teach your children God's word and shall talk of it when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Steve, what we get here is three integrations. We integrate God and his word into education. You shall teach your children God's word as you sit in your house. Mm-hmm. So it must be parents. God integrates himself into every aspect of your children's education. And it hangs as a frontlet between their eyes. It's on the posts, it's on the gates. God is integrated. The parents are integrated. And the third thing is it's life integrated. That is, you don't go into some sterile classroom. No, no, no. Education happens along the way. As you rise up, as you walk by the way, as you sit in your house. It's life integrated. It's God integrated. And it's parent integrated. Now, your average institutionalized status school, is it God integrated?
No.
Is it parent integrated?
Definitely not. They went parents out of there.
Is it life integrated?
No. It's
Strike three, you're out.
It's more towards death. Yeah.
Well, it's not. It's kind of in a sterile classroom. It doesn't really integrate with real life, real work, real relationship, and real worship. It doesn't really integrate into the real things of life. It sits on an island out there in the middle of nowhere. See, modern education ignores exactly the most important integrations that God requires in his word. Now, I'm assuming that God is wiser than our modern institutions. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'd say by a magnitude of infinity.
So why don't we listen to him?
Because we have abandoned God, the truth that men love darkness rather than light. Because
all we like sheep have
gone astray.
Yeah. I guess that's it, Steve.
Yeah.
Well, this is what the Word of God says. Now, there's a difference between communist China and America. Communist countries, the faith is being attacked by a forced atheist indoctrination. The Western countries just sort of fall asleep. It's not like we are mandated by the government to cancel all Sunday schools and all day schools. We have so much more opportunity, so much more freedom here. We have freedom to disciple our kids 7/24s. But it seems to me we're just too busy delegating and watching Beauty and the Beast to disciple our kids. I think that's the difference here, Steve.
Yeah.
Now, let's ask about this issue of Sunday schools and youth camps and scripture. You send your kids to Sunday schools at all? Steve?
No.
You haven't?
No, not for a long time.
Yeah. How about youth camp?
I don't think they've ever been to youth camp.
Yeah, okay. Without maybe some parents being there. Or
right.
Some kind
so
of family camp.
Family camp.
Yeah, family camp, that kind of thing. Well, you know, why Sunday schools? Why youth camps? And of course, this has been the thing exported by the modern institutions. You know, Jesus didn't have youth camps and Sunday schools. You don't see Peter and Paul saying, you got to be sure to put your Sunday schools in place.
Yeah, most of the time when God called his people together, he said, make sure you bring your youth and your infants to listen to what I have to say.
It's family integrated, yeah. Right? We see that throughout almost every other book in the Bible. When they came together in the book of Acts, the children were there. Remember on the seashore as they bade Paul goodbye?
Yeah.
They were all kneeling down, kids included. So you find that in the book of Joel. You find it in the book of Deuteronomy. You find it that the kids call the children, bring them together in solemn assembly. Again and again, you want the children integrated. The children must be integrated. Of course, you know, Sunday schools didn't exist in the 1400s, in the 1500s, but they do show up in the 1700s. But that comes by way of a social disintegration where the family economy is basically disrupted. The family itself, the family as an institution is disrupted, especially in the large growing cities. And eventually, the modern institutions developed out of the destruction of the family economy. And that's how you get to these huge orphanages. Around the time of George Mueller, of course,
right.
Kids are being abandoned in these cities because why? Because the family economy is shot to pieces. There's no longer a unity in family economy, et cetera, et cetera. So we begin to see that the modern institutions, the modern economic and political institutions, disintegrate the family. And then at that point, of course, it's youth camps and Sunday schools. Ken Ham found that Sunday schools are counterproductive in one of his surveys. As long as people were sending their kids to public schools. That is what he was saying, is that if you get 40 hours of pop culture in public school versus 30 minutes of VeggieTales and a Bible story on Sundays, probably not going to cut it.
Yeah, probably not.
I think that's the conclusion. Now, I don't think that Sunday schools or youth camps are malum in se or just evil or sinful or wrong in and of themselves. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, What we need to do is step back and say, why are we doing this? And are we employing what the Word of God tells us to do? Now, yes, there's adiaphora. Yes, there's some extra things we can do. But basically, are we doing what the Word of God tells us to do? Integrate the children into the worship. Are we teaching our children on a daily basis as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down? Are we bringing the Word of God to them? Are we integrating the Word of God into every experience of their life? Are parents involved, engaged, primarily, as the disciples of the kids? These are the questions to ask. This is the way the faith is passed on. This is God's ordained means for passing the faith on from generation to generation. Now, if I refuse to do what God has told me to do, but I've got sort of a few of these extra things that I throw in, is God going to bless that? Now, again, I'm not saying that some of the extra things can't be done. Okay, throw in some extra stuff. That's all right. But what if somebody ignores what God has already required them to do and say, hey, I'd rather do this instead?
Yeah, I just don't see how God can bless that, because if you're ignoring what he's already said, it's like you're coming to God saying, hey, I bet you've never thought about this. This might work. And God's already told us what would work.
Well, you know, if parents are giving their kids 40 hours of pop culture and pagan schools for 40 hours a week, and then they give them 30 minutes of VeggieTales on a Sunday, you know, I've got to ask the question, are these people really serious about their faith? I think that's what it comes back to, Steve. If they're so committed to pagan schooling and pop culture for 40 hours or 60 hours or 70 hours a week, and then 30 minutes of VeggieTales, or those 24 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't remember. I think they do them 24-minute segments. 24 minutes of VeggieTales on a Sunday and 60 hours of pop culture. Now, I'm not saying this is every parent, but I'm saying there are parents out there that call themselves Christians that are doing this kind of stuff. I wonder if these people are really serious about the faith. Especially when 97% of kids are abandoning a biblical worldview of their parents in this generation, and some 80% of millennials are walking away from the church. It's wholesale, Steve. It's wholesale. And it seems to me that what we need is parents to get concerned. I think that's the issue. If parents were concerned, they heard these statistics and they said, you know what? I think we got to do something different. What does the word of God say? Deuteronomy 6, what did he say? It was like the seventh verse. And they crack the word of God, blow off the dust, and read those words. I wonder if those words would make an impact in their life.
That's a good question.
I hope it would. Teach your children God's word as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. And if parents aren't doing family devotions, if they're not reading the word of God to their kids every day, you know, I'm okay with Sunday schools. But I think even better, because I think the issue, Steve, is that we need discipleship that's more intensive, especially to compete with all these other, you know, forces out there. Here's the solution, I think. You know, if someone is to ask me, okay, I've got people in my church who are not teaching their kids on a daily basis. I've got a suggestion. Now, it's not the only suggestion, but it is a suggestion. What if the pastor adopts those kids, brings them into his own house, and does Sunday school with them, and then they do Monday school, and then Tuesday school, and then Wednesday school, and then Thursday school, and they teach their children God's word as they sit in the house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up in the morning, as they lie down at night? That would be a solution if they would adopt those kids into their own families and do Sunday school and Monday school and Tuesday school and Wednesday school and Thursday school. And then after that, Friday school and then Saturday school. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
I think this is the issue. We're trying to get it down to the principal level today on the program. We're not against Sunday school, and we're certainly not against Monday school. We're not against Tuesday school. The problem, Steve, the reason why we're losing the hearts of the millennial generation, as I see it, is that, I don't know, we're just not intensive and intentional enough. That's the issue. Somebody came and interviewed me one time. What do you think of Sunday schools? What do you think of youth groups? And I said, I've got one downstairs. I've got one in my house upstairs, yeah, with my kids. I've got four daughters with me every day. So that's a youth group. But I've got another one downstairs. It's the discipleship centers. It's the Shepherd Center, in which for the last 7 or 8 years, we keep young men here. And we have for the last 6 months, 7 days a week. And we study the Word of God on a daily basis. And I've averaged 3 to 4 hours a day. I would say it's been between 800 hours and 1,000 hours I've had with these young men over the last 6 months. Now, that's not Sunday school. What's the difference between that and Sunday school?
It's a lot more intensive, and it actually has a really good purpose.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's it. I think that's the difference. So again, these are young men. They're, what, 18 to 23 years of age. They're in my basement on a daily basis doing discipleship, and we're trying to bring back what Jesus gave us with his discipleship. He chose 12 men. He discipled them for 3 years, and then they went out and they changed the world. And that, my friends, I think is what the Lord is challenging us to do in our generation, specifically with our children. Let's be sure we bring back a family discipleship approach. Again, friends, it's families discipling each other. This is the thrust. This is what we're trying to teach in our little local church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, and what we're trying to emulate in our home and have over the last 20 years or so. We're trying to bring back a family discipleship approach, and that's why our family discipleship resources that we offer, our family Bible study guides on the book of Proverbs, the book of Psalms, Matthew, and Genesis, all available at our website. Our family discipleship resources on church history, our family discipleship resources on various Christian curriculum, all available at our website. We encourage the read out loud of these books as well in the family, but check out our family discipleship Christian worldview curriculum available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Tuesday, August 1st, AD 2017. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The Foundation for Moral Law, an Alabama legal foundation dedicated to the defense of the United States Constitution and traditional Judeo-Christian values, applauded President Donald Trump's announcement last week that he is reinstating the ban on transgendered persons serving in the armed forces. The World View spoke with Foundation Senior Counsel John Eidsmo, retired U.S. Air Force, about why he and Foundation founder Roy Moore, a West Point graduate and Vietnam veteran, are concerned that the military is a fit fighting force.
It's not supposed to be a social experiment. It's not supposed to be a place where we're trying to change people's attitudes. The purpose of the military is to win wars, and our soldiers don't need to be in a situation where they need to worry about whether the person in the trench next to them is going through some type of crisis.
And Lieutenant Colonel Eidsmo applauded Trump's decision to ban transgendered people from the military for a second specific reason.
I'm concerned that if that order had gone into effect as President Obama wanted it to, many people would be joining the military because they would want to get transgender surgery and have the military, which means the taxpayers, you and me, pay for it. I'd rather see that money going toward missiles, fighters, and the other things that the military needs.
A mayor in Henderson County, Tennessee, is defying the Freedom from Religion Foundation. Mayor Dan Hughes says he will not remove a Bible verse on the courthouse wall despite a threatening letter from lawyers representing the atheist organization. The troublesome verse for the atheists comes from Psalm 89:14, which says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face." The World Health Organization is forecasting 250,000 deaths between 2030 and 2050 because of climate change. And CNN was prophesying worldwide super droughts by the year 2100 as the leading story on CNN.com yesterday. Some are calling it the harshest diplomatic measure since 1986. Over the weekend, Russian President Vladimir Putin announced that he wants the American embassies and staff reduced by 755 people. This comes after the U.S. Congress passed an act requiring stiffened sanctions on Russia for what some have perceived as interference in the 2016 presidential election. Answers in Genesis is fighting an unexpected tax that was imposed by the local city council on the Ark Encounter in Williamstown, Kentucky. The city wants a 50-cent tax on every ticket sold. AIG has requested an annual cap placed at $500,000 per year. But so far, the city is not relenting. The Huffington Post published a piece accusing the Creation Ministry of, quote, swindling, unquote, the city. But a Forbes magazine online commentary called the Huffington piece an unfair characterization. The Pentecostal Assemblies of the World has appointed two women bishops, a first in the history of the denomination. The Oneness Pentecostal group rejects the doctrine of the Trinity as one of the first outgrowths of the Azusa Street Revival in 1906. Charles Ellis, the presiding bishop, told USA Today, quote, "A lot of our former fathers had a very narrow vision of the Scriptures. In our generation, we are using every available resource to get the true meaning, get the commentary on the Scripture, so that we are not narrowly defining what the Word of God says." Unquote. But Revelation 22:19 reminds us that if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Despite heavy Muslim persecution in Sudan, the Episcopalian Church claims 4.5 million members in both the North and South, and this has warranted an archbishopric, the 39th in the world. Archbishop of Canterbury Justin Welby traveled to Khartoum, Sudan over the weekend to install Daniel Dang as the official overseer of the Sudanese Church, as reported in the Anglican Communion News Service. Christian Today reports that Finland's Evangelical Lutheran Church is witnessing, quote, hundreds, unquote, of Muslims joining the church. The immigrants originate from Afghanistan, Iran, and Iraq. Of the 43 attempts to legalize suicide this year in 26 states, all of them have failed to date. Proverbs 14:19 says, "The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous." Harry Noble, pastor of New Spring, a megachurch in South Carolina,
has returned to preaching in churches around the United States and the world. According to the Christian Post, Noble was dismissed from his pulpit last year for alcoholism and, quote, other sin issues, unquote. When confronted with the 1 Timothy 3 list of requirements for eldership in the church, he responded that, quote, I could go through that list. As the senior pastor of New Spring Church, I never felt qualified, unquote. Perry Noble's sermons were heard by over 30,000 people on 11 campuses across the state of South Carolina. 1 Timothy 3, 2-6 says, A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. And finally, those who rule over men must fear God. And 12 or so of President Donald Trump's cabinet members are now attending a Bible study sponsored by an organization called Capital Ministries. Ralph Drolinger, the director of the ministry, calls this a once-in-a-100-years phenomenon in Washington in this recent CBN interview.
It's the best Bible study I've ever taught in my life. They are so teachable. They're so noble. They're so learned.
Has this been done before in a cabinet
formally?
I don't think
there's been a cabinet Bible study in America in at least 100 years. Like Jeff Sessions, he'll go out the same day I teach him something, and I'll see him do it on camera. And I just think, man, these guys are faithful, available, and teachable, and they're at Bible study every week they're in town.
The regular attendees of the Bible study include Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, Energy Secretary Rick Perry, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue, CIA Director Mike Pompeo, and Attorney General Jeff Sessions. According to their website, Capital Ministries provides, quote, an exegetical analysis of Scripture itself by which to weigh and measure the critical policy issues and decisions they face in Congress, unquote. At this point, Capital Ministries organizes Bible studies with legislators in 40 capitals around America. And that's the Worldview in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, August 1st, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.